Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sport City. Welcome to the run. Let's go.
For their purchase, we surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay. The calling number is 929-477-2759. You got the next hour with your boy. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. We got a lot to jump into, but before I get things started, I have a moment of silence that I have to throw out here. Rest in peace to a family member of mine that just was murdered, slain out here in Stamford, Connecticut. Tory Johnson, rest in peace, a.k.a. the problem child. Okay, Sports City, I'm going to try my best to get through this show. You know, a lot of my family members have been running to me and like, yo, what am I going to do today? Because they want to get together. So that's why this is an hour show. So I'm going to try and run through this as best as I can. I do have some people here. I got my co-host with me. I have Jose Horton in the building. Jose, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me. I want to give my shout out to Torres, too, man. I grew up with him, man. I love him. Torres Johnson. He grew up at Baby Towers, a big guy. Rest in peace, man.
Yeah, man, it's just too crazy of a situation out here, and let alone in Stamford where a lot of it's supposed to calm down. They moved a lot of crazy situations out of Stamford, and it's still going to be crazy regardless, man. It's just life, man. But I'm trying to get past all of this somber stuff, man, and heavy-hearted, you know. I'm trying, man, but, you know, I got people trying to address me now, listening, telling me to just get through the show, Ty. Don't worry about it. So I'm getting texts. I'm trying not to even be concerned about the text. I'm just trying to get through this smoothly. We also have Mike here in the building. Mike, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Well, good, Timeless. And, you know, I hear the somber news. It just shows your testament to the show. That you're, you know, going to come on a Sunday and pull through this with everything that's going on. So that shows a lot about your character. And, you know, just on a football note, you know, the Packers are who I said they were. The defense is exactly set who I said they were going to be, facing Trubisky, Flacco, and Cousins in the first 3 weeks, and you saw the parting of the Red Seas with that run defense, and I did call the Eagles to win that game. So I'm not going to come on here. I know it's a somber day for you and boast or anything, but the Packers defense are who I thought they were.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you your credit. I can't overlook that fact. I'm gonna give you your credit due. I said in the show if they pulled it off, because I had to force Mike to pick the Eagles. He said that they would cover the spread, and he's like he didn't know about the Eagles. When I like just go with them. So one, I'm gonna give you your credit due. You called it. You called the spread and you called the Eagles, but I pushed you a little. And two, I'm gonna be honest for a city not to be. I guess, because I went with the Packers, I'm not going to lie. But I'm not going to totally sound crazy in saying this, but I'm happy I was wrong. I am happy I was wrong about that. And not knowing that the Eagles would have pulled, I'm going to start right there. Let me just get past that. That's helping me. Thank you, Mike, for segueing into that so I can get all of that sadness out of my face and start talking what I'm here for to cook a little bit. I'll start right there on the Thursday night matchup. And it's interesting because I don't care, don't take what I'm going to say the wrong way, Mike, what I'm going to say. I don't care how you say it about the Packers. I still am concerned about them and fear them in football because of how dangerous Aaron Rodgers can be. But now I'm looking at it because his lone piece throughout the whole game, Davante Adams, was gone for the remainder of the game with a toe. I don't know if he was cramping or it was a toe issue, but he was out. So it was like Rodgers was trying to make a lot of stuff happen without his main target, and they got to the red zone and they couldn't make it happen. So I tip my hat to the Philadelphia Eagles. They were 1-2 at the time. I thought that they were 4-1-3 because of how crazy their start came out the gate. Now they're at 500. They gave the Packers their first loss on the season, and let alone this game took place in Lambeau, too. So it's very interesting that they were able to go on the road and pull it off. And, you know, the dual threat with Sanders and Howard, they were taking care of business running the ball up against the Packers. So I'm really concerned about the Packers defense for it's not like they lit the scoreboard up. They just did what they needed to do within that 60 minutes to win the game.
Well, you know, Timeless, Troy Aikman made a comment during the game that he never saw as big as holes through the middle of the Packers defense. I mean, literally, you had Philadelphia Eagles running backs going 5 to 10 yards through the middle of that defense untouched in that game. It's not like Wentz played a great game. He had a good game down in the red zone. I think they were 4 for 4 in the red zone for touchdowns. But the middle of that Packers defense, it was getting torn up by the run with the Eagles, kind of like you see a college teams, you know, when you have a great college team against a bad one where they just run. And, you know, they were going untouched. And I do remember, Timeless, you said on Thursday's show, you were going to give me some time, a segment sometime today, if it's a minute or two, to say whatever I had to say if the Eagles won that game.
So have at it. Here's your minute. Go ahead.
Okay. So you know where I'm going with this, Timeless. I got to go to Carmelo Anthony. This is my favorite. I know. Yeah, just bear with me. I'll be real quick, I promise. So if you remember, everyone remembers this listening about 4 or 5 years ago. I used to call in all the time, and I used to say Carmelo Anthony. I called him the most overrated superstar of all time. If you remember in the 2003 draft, LeBron went first, Milicek went second, and Carmelo went third. And I would always come in and I said, if Carmelo would have went second to the Pistons and was put in a better culture with the Pistons, who at the time, if everyone remembers, was a championship team. They valued defense, more structure. But he went to Denver at 3, and I said that was the worst thing that could ever happen to him. Because he just won the championship with Syracuse, and I think he kind of got over – his head got overblown a little bit because he thought it was too easy. So he goes out there with George Karl, and he becomes a little complacent. He's the number one focus on the team. But I always said if he would have went to the Pistons and went with Rip Hamilton, Billups, he would have been more of a piece instead of the main focus. And I think would have been better for his career. I never thought his body was in shape, kind of like Carmelo or Dwayne Wade or Bosch. If you remember that 2003 draft, those were the top five players. You throw a Milicek in there. After that, the draft was pretty bad. But I just like to say, you know, and I've always talked about it, how I called out Carmelo Anthony before everyone saw it. So, it was a sad thing. I just think if he would have been drafted second by the Pistons instead of Denver, his career would have went totally different. And I remember I told you on Thursday, Timeless, the next time we're going to be seeing him is in the 3-on-3, the big ball, whatever they call it, tournament or league that they have.
The Big Three tournament.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving me my minute for calling the Eagles win, and I'll let you go with that.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know, man. I don't want to get too caught up in Carmelo because it's nowhere near basketball season. But, yeah, I mean, you called it, and he's not playing. Hopefully he gets on the team. Maybe they said the Nets are – They've been working out with him. I don't know if the Nets will pull him in. I'm wondering if any of these teams try to mess with him now that he sat out an entire season. But nevertheless, I don't want to get caught up with this Carmelo ball because I know this could carry on and extend the show, and I'm trying to get in and out of this because I'm trying to be with the family today. Okay, so I'm gonna get through the top 25 quickly. Interesting thing too, and okay, so I'll start out with the Friday night matchup. Penn State shuts out Maryland, and this is ridiculous. They shut out Maryland in Maryland, 59-0. Okay, and they were 2-1 at this time. For them to lose like this after the first two wins that they had, they won one game 79-0 because the kid passed away, and he wore number 79 in respects to him. And they're looking like they're the bottom of the Big Ten again. But let me get past this. Arizona State redeems itself after last week's loss, 24-17, in Berkeley up against the California Golden Bears. Clemson wins a nail-biter up against North Carolina, 21-20. Mac Brown, I'm going to say this before I continue, that had to be the most boneheaded call if you're going for two to try to win the game. And I understand. You want to put your team in front of the fire to try to win the game. You go for two. Make a play that's going to happen. You're trying to go sideline to sideline with an option with a freshman quarterback that really wanted to get to the house by himself. And by the time he pitched it, they were all there. Clemson has speed on both sides of the ball. Ridiculous call. I understand you're trying to win the game. That's what you're here to play for. But call something else. I'd rather, you're right, I'd rather push overtime and try to win it that way. You're at home and on some epic type of game. This is a game where you can knock off Clemson, even with them over two. I'm not mad at it, but the play call was ridiculous. That had to be one of the worst calls to try to go forward on two at home, and you guys could have upset the world. I know everybody and their mother lost money on this game anyway because you fought a good one, but 21-20, Mac Brown, I put this on you, or you and your offensive coordinator. I don't know who called that call. Absolutely ridiculous option call. Follow that one up. Alabama wins. Say that again.
It reminds me of that Super Bowl call with Seattle when they decided to throw the ball instead of going to beast mode. It was a ridiculous call.
Let me add to this too, Jose. Let me add to this too. That Packers game, the way that the Packers lost, was the same exact play call that the Patriots, that the Seahawks called in the Super Bowl. At the one-yard line, they call a cross route with the two receivers, and they jumped it. They tipped the ball this time, and then it was an interception in the end zone. Same exact play. Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I was going to say Brady, but Rodgers and Russell Wilson did the same thing at the damn goal line, and both of these quarterbacks are scramblers. Like, they could have ran the ball and made a difference, but nevertheless, let me get past it. I definitely agree with you. Good hit on that one, Jose. Okay, so follow this one up. Alabama wins, cruising 59-31 in a record form. Devontae Smith had 5 touchdown receptions, 274 yards receiving, and Tua hit him with the 5, but he ended up with 6 touchdown passes thrown in a SEC battle up against – well, not a battle, an SEC matchup up against Ole Miss. 59-31, Ohio State blows out Nebraska in Nebraska, 48-7. Ohio State has to be a top 3 team. I see them at top 5. They have to push these guys up. I'm sorry. 48-7 right now. Oklahoma beats the crap out of Texas Tech, 55-16. Auburn wins their matchup up against Mississippi State, 56-23. Wisconsin wins their matchup against Northwestern. Interesting enough, 24-15, it was decent. Florida shuts out Towson. Nobody was, impressed with that. 38-0. Notre Dame beats Virginia. This is an interesting game, 35-20. I tip my hat to Notre Dame. Hopefully they move up in the rankings. They deserve their work. And their loss to Georgia, I think, probably will push these guys further throughout this season. Iowa cruises up against Middle Tennessee, 48-3. Washington wins up against USC, 28-14. Utah beats Washington State 38-13. Let me stop here before I go any further. Now, I understand coaches get mad when they lose, things of that nature, right? Mike Leach, head coach of Washington State, after they lost, addressed the press and said, "My players are dumb and fat." Hold on. You just threw your team under the bus, and you are the one getting them ready, let alone Washington State came out the gate. They won their first 3. They lose their next 2, and now you're throwing them under the bus, Mike Leach. classless. And you, to me, I looked at you like this a lot, a lot. Like, and I thought this was a change the way you came out the gate being 3-0. Nothing has changed with you. You're a full pass attack offense. There's no running game at all in Washington State. If you can figure out stopping their pass game, they're mute. They scored that 13 points in the first half. They didn't score again in the second half at all. No field goal, no nothing. So, Mike Leach, I'm looking at you different because you try to throw your team under the bus. You weren't prepared for Utah. They went on the road and exposed you. Michigan beats Rutgers 52-0 in a shutout. University of Central Florida beats UConn 56-21. Texas A&M beats Arkansas 31-27. This game was close. It got all the way close to the you know, in the red zone, and they still ended up stopping them. Texas A&M with a key stop in the end of the game. Oklahoma State with an upset up against Kansas State. Kansas State was undefeated at this point. Oklahoma wins it 26-13. And to round out the top 25, Michigan State beats Indiana in an interesting game, 40-31. Indiana did fight within this game, but Michigan State was able to outlast them, 40-31 in East Lansing. Anything else before we get away from this and get into the Week 4 matchup?
Yeah, hey, I want real to quick, timeless.
Wait, I'll let you go first, Mike. And I'll let Mike go first, and then Jose, you go second.
Okay.
Yeah, real quick, timeless. So, you know, I like to make predictions. So, from watching that Clemson game, here's my prediction. This is the first year, in my opinion, in the last few years, you're going to see a championship game in the playoffs without Clemson and Alabama. I think Ohio State and Georgia are the two best teams in the country. I think Oklahoma with Hurts is really solid too. So everyone wants to bank on Alabama, Clemson being there or playing each other again. I just want to throw it out there now, early in the season, that neither one of them is going to be in the final championship game when it's all said and done.
It's tough. There's going to be a lot of teams that fight Clemson tough, but Clemson has a lot of talent across the board. I can't overlook what Clemson and Alabama have across the board. I think that they can lose, like especially watching this game up against North Carolina. North Carolina is somehow tough in Chapel Hill, but they just lost last week in Chapel Hill up against, I think it was Appalachian State, if I'm not mistaken. But they put this game up. They had an interesting game 3 weeks ago up against Miami. Then they played Clemson tough. So I don't know if it's just the aura of being at Chapel Hill or what, but I know Clemson's going to get everybody's best game because they are the national champs and they won two out of the last three.
Georgia's better than Alabama. Georgia is better than Alabama this year.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see if they can pull that off. If they can pull that off, that'll be great. But Tua is back in his regular form right now, especially in his game up against Ole Miss. The one thing I love about Tua playing the quarterback position, every pass that he throws to these receivers, he's basically in stride with these guys. Like, it is so systematic that the way that he has the connection with his receivers. I love his efforts in the quarterback position. I wish he was at least 3 or 4 inches taller so he could get pro consideration. He may. I don't know if they'll pull him in the pros as a quarterback, but I want to see him play at the next level. Okay. Jose, I know you wanted to say something, and then we'll get away from it.
Yeah, Ty. You know what I was doing throughout the week? I'm trying to put the NFL together with the NCAA football, and the only thing I could get is I know exactly why Miami Dolphins is tanking. You want to know why they're tanking? There's this guy who transferred from Alabama. He's a transfer. His name is Jalen Hurts, you know? He's the SEC 2016 Offensive Player of the Year. He's the SEC 2016 Freshman of the Year. He's a 2018 National Champion. He was the first team All-SEC in 2016. He's a two-time SEC Champion in 2016 and 2018. Jalen Hurts, listen to me, Thomas, just say this one more time. Yesterday in the first half, he got 306 yards with two touchdowns. He ran the ball 8 times for 60 yards with another touchdown. They are tanking for this guy, and you know what? I'm not blaming him. He's an all-star. He's a star. I'm giving my shout-out to Jalen Hurts today. Do you see what I'm talking about, Ty? This guy is a monster.
Listen. I like when he first came into college when he was with Alabama. I think he has 2 national championships too, so he knows how to win. But once Tua came, I'd have to check that. I think he has two. The crazy part about it, as soon as Tua got on campus, it was like he had to pack his bags or settle for being the backup because they were more enamored watching the lefty that can make every throw on the field. The one thing I like about Jalen Hurts is he's super strong to be a quarterback. This guy, you know, works out like he's a linebacker, not even like a quarterback. And he can make some throws, but I think that national championship when they lost, when they beat Georgia, and he couldn't make any of the throws, and Tua came in and saved the game, it kind of like set him back. But now it's like he's on a mission with a point to prove, especially down there in Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
But the one thing that it hurts me about Oklahoma, with them being in the Big 12, there's no defense played in the Big 12. Like Oklahoma always runs the table a lot year after year, and then once they start to play the big boys, they fall apart. Like they had those years with Adrian Peterson, and even when they had Adrian Peterson or Jason White, those players, they lost. You know, they didn't really win. Like they won all of their games, but then when Showtime came, they lost. Everybody remembers the loss they had to Boise State. Ian Johnson on the Statue of Liberty plate. So Oklahoma has to break that mystique. It would be interesting if they can continue to run the table and be in the playoffs. It would be very interesting to see if at least they make the top six.
I tell you, I understand there's no defense in that conference, but let's look at these numbers for this year. He got 1,300 yards passing, 12 touchdowns, and only one interception, and a 97.5 QBR. That's high. I understand that. His throws are on target, on point. It gives his receivers a chance to catch the ball. You get what I'm saying? I mean, I think he's at all NFL ready. All experience in the national championship. He's definitely my number one contender for the Heisman Trophy this year. So I think the kid definitely takes it. I know why Miami's tanking. That's the main reason why I brought it up.
Listen, I wholeheartedly get where you're coming from. But let's look at it like this. It's the Big 12. Look at Baker Mayfield and the numbers he put up when he was there in college. Same situation, same college, same Oklahoma. He did those numbers as soon as he got into the playoffs, bumped out, like went home. Then you think about, even though I don't want to take too much away from him because he's nasty, look at Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes killed in the Big 12. Didn't even do anything because they still lost. Like Texas was losing while he was there, but he still was putting up gaudy numbers. Like, you're going to get that, and even though I think Kansas has changed, but they play the likes of Kansas. They play with Kansas State, even though Kansas State is better this year, but like without like the with Coach Snyder, like it's going to be interesting to see if they can consistently play like this. There are a lot of teams that people pick on. Yeah, I mean, and Texas finally turned around. Texas was in a slump for like the past 4 years. Texas has been out of contention, like with Coach Charlie Strong, everything that's been down in the Big 12. So to me, looking at the Big 12, even though they call them a power conference, I don't call them a power conference. I feel like they are overrated, but they have a lot of talent or potential that you could pick from, you know, at select positions across the board.
You compare Hurts to Baker. If you recall, Baker just changed the organization right now from 0 wins to 8-8 last year. You don't think Miami wants a quarterback that could change the whole nature of the scene and you know, start winning again? If they're looking at they should be able to fix their franchise with a franchise quarterback. You get what I'm saying? If they could do it, why can't
they? It's going to take the Dolphins is going to take more than Jalen Hurts, dog. I'm going to be honest.
I get it.
It's going to take more.
More in this division. So and what I'm saying is they bring in all fresh in a couple more years. They have a lot of young talent. And Tom Brady most likely won't be there, and then they'll be like some being competitive. It doesn't take 1 year to rebuild. It's not the Kansas City Chiefs where they went worse from first. You know, it takes time to build the organization and the right players around them.
Right, but everybody that's on that organization now, they're trying to leave. So, like, he's probably going to come there and the parking lot's going to be vacant. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's looking bad in Miami.
This is about.
Oh, I know. I'm listening. Well, he needs some type of foundation, dog. I'm not. I don't want to get hung up talking about the Dolphins that we got. We got a whole show to go, and I got limited time. But there's people are trying to leave. Not too many free agents are going to try to come there because people are leaving. A lot of people are trying to leave the beach. Like who says they want to leave Miami? Like honest. I think this is a work in progress, but we'll see. Okay. I don't know, Mike, did you want to say something before we got away from it, before I get into the week four matchups?
No, I'm ready for the week four matchups.
Okay. Before I get into this, Antonio Brown, and I don't want to use the word hate. I don't like that almost every week. It's something for him, you know, week by week. But he's in the midst of 9 grievances with all of the stuff that's going on with him not playing, I'm guessing. So he's appealing things, so on and so forth. It's crazy that this is what's going on with Antonio Brown. I hope he plays because it's a talent. He's a talent, and I don't want his career to end like this. It's just funny that this is what is happening to him right now. I want to say within an 8-9 year span that he's out of the league, no job, and I don't know if he's looking for money or what or attention, but it's bad that this is what it's looking like. Okay, let's get into it. The first matchup I have today is the Titans and the Falcons. This is in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. I was going to say the Georgia Dome, but it's no longer that. They remade that stadium, and it's amazing. I want to see how you guys feel about this game. Who do you like and your fantasy player? I will start with you first, Mike.
Okay, Thomas, I'm going to be real quick today since you're on time constraints. If I don't like a game or really like fantasy, I'm just going to do a quick pass because there are actually a few games that I really like against the spread. This is one game I really have no idea. If you're pressing me, I'm going to take Atlanta just to win just because they're a 3.5-point favorite, but I really don't have a good feel for this game.
And a fantasy player? Mike, do you have a – oh, okay.
No, I don't. I don't even have a fantasy player. I have no feel for this game, Thomas.
Jose, who do you like in this matchup and a player?
You know what? James said exactly everything that I would say. The only thing I would say differently is bring in Tannehill because Tennessee did good the first game and then they haven't showed up since. So I'm going to take Atlanta, my -3.5. And like James also said, there's really no one that catches my eye for fantasy. So I'm just going to say Atlanta's defense, even though their defense is sketchy.
Y'all picking on Mariota, making me want to pick the Titans right now.
It's time for Tannehill, man.
Cut it out. Listen, that's why the Dolphins got rid of him. They gave him $100 million and said, you can go. Bye.
They got rid of him because they're tanking. Come on. They're tanking.
I'm going Falcons. And my fantasy player, I'm going to go Julio. I don't know if there's anybody in that secondary that can deal with Julio. I really want to say the Titans with Derrick Henry because I think Derrick Henry can make this a physical day for the Falcons. Just in case the Titans make this a game or win, just know that I noticed Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry can make this an interesting game. If their run game is working, this is going to be a very interesting matchup. The next game I have here, and this is an interesting matchup right here, the undefeated Patriots go into Buffalo in a new era field up against the undefeated Buffalo Bills, 3-0. Jose, who do you like in this matchup and a fantasy player?
I'm definitely going to go with the New England Patriots. I think this is going to be a closer game with the 7-point spread. The Bills do have a good defense, have good receivers, and an okay running game. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I'm going to take New England. Fantasy players. Edelman did travel with the team, but I'm not sure how much playing time he's going to get. I'm going to go with today's fantasy. I'm going to go with Sony Michel. Hey, can I say something real quick? I think it's going to be New England and Kansas City, both teams undefeated when they match up. I can't see anybody beating these teams, man. I really can't.
Okay, we will see. Mike, who do you like in this matchup and a player?
Well, Thomas, you know I like to bet them against the spread. And on Thursday, I think I put my bet on Twitter. I bet $200 to $500 a game. I don't bet many games, but when I like a game, I fire away. I love Buffalo getting, and I got it at 7.5 points. I got the game at 7.5 points, and you know what? When you're getting 7.5 points with a spread, a total that's only 41 or 42 points, Those are a lot of points to get. So, and you remember last week I took the Jets against the Patriots getting 21.5 points. So I'm going to go back to the well here, and I'm going to go against the Patriots against the point spread at 7.5 points, and I'm going to go under. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I believe the over-under is about 42 points. At least that's what I got it. Obviously, today it's under that now once you know, people get going, but you got to get ahead of the curve here. I mean, I'm going to take the points. I love the points, 7.5. I'll take Buffalo to win.
And you're taking them outright too, or no?
I'll take them outright, but I'm going to tell you right now, Timeless, I got a $200 bet on Buffalo plus 7.5 points. I didn't put it in today. You're going to see 7 now. Because the sharp money, the so-called pros are on the Buffalo side. The public's on New England, so the line has actually gone down to 7 points now, with the majority bets going on New England, which shows you the actual big money that's getting put on this game is by the pros on Buffalo. So I'm going to take my 7.5 points, and yeah, I'll take Buffalo. I don't think New England's unbeatable. I'm not sure yet if Edelman's 100%. New England's really, in my opinion, not played anybody. You want to count that Pittsburgh game? That's fine. But you know, in Buffalo, I don't think New England's as good as they think everyone's saying they are. Just kind of like I called the Packers last week. So I'll take Buffalo to win, but I love the 7.5 points. That'll probably be one of my top three points against the point spread this week.
I don't want to go against them, so I'm going to go with the Patriots. I really want to sing my song, but I'm worried about it. It's a story of a guy named Brady. I'm going to say it. I'm not confident in saying it because the Bills are different this year. Even though they had matchups this year for the first three games that were favorable for them to win the game, and I thought that they would, you know, kind of fall off course with losing Shady McCoy, but it's different now. I still got to go with the Patriots and Bill Belichick, but I think this will be an interesting game. I think this will be close. I think this will be a low-scoring affair, especially with the over-under being at, what, now it's at 41.5. Mike has it at a different number, but with it being so low, I think they're trying to trap people to try and run into an over. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think this could be a really low-scoring game. I don't know why I'm really going with the Patriots. I really I wanted to say Bills, but it's just interesting, especially the numbers that Brady has. Brady in this entire century, so from 2000 till now, he's thrown more touchdowns in Buffalo than any quarterback in the Buffalo Bills organization. I don't know if it was combined or if any of them has thrown, but he's thrown more touchdowns in that building than any of them has thrown. I don't know if it's combined. Say that again.
Oh, you got to stop it. That was too much for the Bills fans.
It's a real stat. It's a real stat. It's a real stat. He's home in New York. Like he's just fine. Like, he's just fine. And on the spread with the Bills against the Patriots last week, the Jets against the Patriots last week, Brady never sits out. Like, Brady will keep riding the storm. I don't care how bad they're blowing somebody out. They sat Brady out the entire third, half of the third quarter and going into the fourth. It was like they knew the game was in hand.
No, Todd, it was just one possession. It was just one possession. He threw a pick six, and they put him right back in the game.
No, Stidham threw that pick six, right?
Yes.
That was the backup, yeah.
Here's my process.
Hold on. Plus, New England's defense has only given up, I think it's 6 points all season long. They haven't even given up scores. If they wanted to, they could have completely took care of business. The Jets scored their 2 times. I think it was a pick six and something else. The defense didn't even give up those points. Like, they were scored on
right,
in different
right.
phases of the game.
Here's my whole process. Yeah, it was a pick six. So I was getting 21.5 points last week. And the Patriots were up 30-0 in that game. That's my whole thought process. When you're getting 21.5 points, You start playing the game differently in the second half. You start taking out the Bradys. So I thought the Jets were going to get a backdoor cover. I thought that all along that was too many points and Belichick was going to call off the dogs. And that's exactly what happened. You got a pick six by the backup quarterback. They brought Brady back in, but they weren't really trying to score. They were just trying to run clock. And I ended up coming in with that 21.5 points when the final was 30-14.
Yeah, I mean, the luck of the draw. It worked in your favor, man. If that pick six wasn't thrown, and it's funny because they put Stidham in the game, and like I said, they don't ever take Brady out. For some odd reason, Brady wants to stomp people out. You mean to tell me, riddle me this, right? You mean to tell me that they went to Miami, and knowing how bad Miami was, right, Brady played the entire game and won the game 43-0, and the Dolphins are horrible. They go home up against the Jets, and everybody knows that the Jets play the Patriots tough. It don't matter where they are. It's a tough matchup. And they sat Brady out, and they put him back in. They put him back in, right? And they could have drowned him out if they wanted to. They could have drowned the Jets out if they wanted to.
You know Belichick. He had something, a payback from last year when the Patriots lost to the Dolphins on that last Hail Mary play when they were throwing the ball around. There was payback last time, that Miami game. So he wanted to embarrass the Dolphins from that last year's loss against Miami. So that's Belichick for you.
I like his point.
Belichick for you. Belichick is not like a typical coach. He gives you payback.
So
he'll pay you back.
Right. Okay, fine. Okay, there was the year when the Patriots went undefeated until the Super Bowl, they lost to the Giants. They had a game up against the Redskins at home. They won that game 52-6, right? Brady played the entire game, 52-6. They're drubbing them out. There's no what rematch do or what revenge does he have against the Redskins? What? Well, because he was a Giants defensive coordinator back when LT was around. Like what? There's
he
no,
always
there's,
has
listen,
something.
They,
you never
there,
know
no,
with Belichick.
What,
that's
stop.
That's what makes him so
not
great.
The,
that's what makes him so great.
For the Redskins?
Tom Brady, you know, Tom Brady never lost back-to-back to three games in a row in his whole career.
Listen to this, Timeless. So Belichick was the defensive coordinator for the Giants back in the 80s when Bill Parcells there. Who was their main rival? The Washington Redskins. So maybe there was something in him that just said, I played against the Redskins all these years, so I just want to embarrass them 52-6. I'm not saying 100% that's for sure, but I'm just saying that's the way Belichick rolls, man.
I understand where you're going, but at least, come on. I can't even really think of the last blowout that they took Brady out and the backup went in. Like, when you see a backup go in, Brady gets hurt, like when or he's suspended. Like, when you saw Garoppolo and saw Jacoby Brissett, he was out of the game. Like, when he's there to the bitter end, whether he's sneaking the ball over the goal line for a one-yard touchdown or whatever, Brady's doing it all. But this game up against the Jets, he's going to sit out. Like, cut it out. Like, look, there was a phone call made. That's all I'm going to say. There was a phone call made. Because that's what could have got even worse. The offense, let me put it this way. The Jets offense did not score. That's completely it. They did not score. Come on. Okay. Let me get going. Got time to run with. The next matchup I have is the Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Detroit Lions in Ford Field. Mike, I'll go to you first. Who do you like in the matchup and your fantasy player?
Oh, boy, this is really a tough one for me. I'm not going to take any pick against the spread. I think it's gone up to 7. All week long, the spread was 6.5. And then I think Thursday or Friday they said Stafford was questionable. I think he's still going to play, but that kind of threw everything for a loop. And if you're just asking me for a team, I'm going to take Kansas City. I mean, they're favored by a touchdown. I think they're vulnerable one of these games on the road. You're just kind of going to surprise everybody. I don't feel strong either way. A fantasy pick, I mean, I got to take Mahomes, I guess. I mean, how can't you? I mean, how can't you take this guy no matter what situation he's playing against? So I'll take Kansas City and Mahomes, but I don't feel great about the spread, so I'm not taking a spread pick either way.
Okay, so Jose, I know you said Chiefs because you said they're going to be undefeated until they meet the Patriots. Who is your fantasy player?
Boy, I love the way you listen to me. That is absolutely true. Even though Detroit is 2-0-1, like remember last week I was like undefeated, but this is a lot bigger test. You know, every single week you got to pick Mahomes as fantasy until otherwise you got to pick him. No matter who's in his backfield, no matter who's catching the ball for him, you got to pick him. And I'm going to take Kansas City giving up the 7 in this game at Detroit. This is a tie. No, this is going to be this is a prime time popcorn game for you, my man.
Yeah, I got
this
my popcorn ready
to
hear me. Here goes the crazier part. I'm going with my boys to pull off the upset. And here goes the crazy part about this. Here goes the crazy part about this. With all of the Stafford back injury is hurting, unless he comes out of that game, which I hope he finishes the game. I don't want to see him come out and then we got to work with the backup because they don't even have a true backup. They've been quarterback carouseling, but hopefully he finishes the game. This game right here is where Stafford needs to earn his money. Like, because Mahomes already made a name for himself in the past 2-3 years right here, right? So it's like everybody's watching to see what you're going to do. And let alone, this is one of those, I don't know, I'm digging myself because my father always watched Westerns. But this is one of those Westerns where you take 10 paces and draw. Like, turn around and we got to go shot for shot. Like, the Lions defense has gotten better this year, but the Chiefs defense is bad. They are down at the bottom of the barrel in overall defense. So it's like, this is a game where the Lions can make this a game. They can make this a winnable game. And more or less, I have to put this in the lap of Matthew Stafford. I'm not even going to lie, Sports City. A lot of people like, okay, you know your team is at a third. The past 2 weeks, I've been on target with my boys. The week before, it was Galladay. Last week, I went with Marvin Jones. Both of them were the player of the game. I'm putting it on Stafford's lap right now to be the guy. Stafford, I don't care. It's always been, oh, you don't have enough targets or the line isn't giving you blocking. Well, guess what? I didn't even know that this was a stat right now. This entire season, for the first 3 games of the season, Matthew Stafford has not been sacked at all. He has not been sacked. So I don't want to hear anything about you being pressured. This line has been giving you time, and you got your weapons now. You got 6'5" Hawkinson. You got 6'5" Jesse James. You got Galladay, that's 6'4", Marvin Jones out there. Look, you got pieces. This is a game where you can make everybody hold their breath, and this is the one thing that I'm pinpointing. You can creep up in the power ranking because they still don't respect the line in the power ranking. So you can creep up if you pull this game up.
Listen
to me. You're telling me that this is the game that Matthew Stafford should make his money. Let me say something. As a Detroit Lions fan, every game that this comes down to, he fails. I don't know why you have your money. You get what I'm saying? Every time it's a big game to Matthew Stafford, he throws pick after pick after pick. You cannot have your money in Detroit today. Even though they're at home, Stafford is throwing pick. He's got a back injury. You're right about the sack thing, but it doesn't matter. Kansas City finds ways to win the ball game. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I would have my money on Detroit.
Real quick, Timeless. So from a betting perspective, the line all week long was Kansas City -6.5. It's -7 now, Kansas City, and it's pushing to -7.5, Kansas City. All the smart money is going towards Kansas City. So I'm kind of wondering, is Stafford really healthy? Because he was questionable on Thursday, Friday. I think a lot of the betting public might have some insight here that Stafford might not be 100% in this game. So again, like I said, I'm not, you know, I don't have a strong opinion, but I'm just saying it's something to watch with Stafford. How healthy really is he for this game? And if he's not healthy, if he has to go out, they have no chance of beating Kansas City.
I'm just telling me that this is a game where he makes money. Well, we went through the past of him. He failed at those situations. I'm only going off of what the Detroit Lions fan told me.
It's interesting because it's going to, like, juggle the argument. But, one, for him to pull up that win up against the Chargers, that's when he threw his first two picks up against the Chargers. He got two picks thrown in that game. But they go into Philadelphia where, I'm not going to lie, I went with the Lions just pure off of the heart of me being a Lions fan. And he went in there and took that game from the Eagles, let alone outbid Wentz again. And Wentz is MVP caliber. Like, this has to change with Stafford. Stafford has to make the leap from being middle of the pack to one of the elite quarterbacks. He has to. Like, this is his 11th year. Everybody picks on him. And this is a game where everybody's watching. Everybody's wondering when the Chiefs are going to lose. If it is going to be, just like Jose said, if it is going to be left up to the Patriots to win that game again because they've beaten them, you know, the last couple of times, especially while Mahomes is there, this could be a game where Patricia knows what the Patriots do in defending this Kansas City juggernaut offense. So this could work out in the Lions' favor. I feel just like the slogan that came out 6 or 7 years ago, Detroit versus everybody. It's going to take everything down there in Detroit to get this game done.
Tom,
if
no
defending the Chiefs offense, you only can maintain it. You can't completely defend. You can only maintain it and keep it to a minimum.
Wentz in that great game was dropping dimes. It was the receivers that were dropping wide open passes. I'm not going to blame Wentz. Eagles should have won that game. If their receivers would have just caught the ball like an average.
No, I agree with you. They had 7 drops. I didn't think it would be that bad, especially that last play on 4th down. It wasn't Rashad Melvin didn't even tip the ball. The receiver dropped the ball basically at the goal line. So I agree with you, Mike. I feel you, man. But like I said, Detroit versus everybody, and this is going to take everybody. I hope Slade plays. We're definitely going to leave. If Slade don't play, then we're in a lot of trouble today. But this is a game where Detroit can take care of business. As much as I don't want to say this, I think that 54.5 is in jeopardy. I think it's going to be a big time over. But I'm going with my boys. I feel like they can get this game done and shock the world. I feel like Muhammad Ali caught up in this situation. But let me get going. I'm getting caught up in one game. And look at you guys, 13 minutes, but I think I might run over. So we'll see. The next matchup I have is the Raiders versus the Colts. Is there anybody that thinks the Raiders that could go into Lucas Oil and win this game?
Yes.
That's my pick. That's my pick of the week.
Okay, so wait. So Jose, okay, I'll let you talk about it. Jose, you're picking the Raiders?
Yes, I'm definitely picking the Raiders to win outright and to cover the 6.5 spread. I think that's going to be my lock of the week just because John Gruden, he's going to be all over risking his quarterback. There's a lot of questions with John Gruden's team, and sometimes that first game when they went to play Denver, they answered some questions. I think this is the perfect game after the Colts coming off an impressive win. This is a good one for Oakland to steal. This is really a good game for them to steal.
Who's your fantasy guy?
You go 2-2.
Who's your fantasy guy?
I, you know what? This is another game that I really don't know, you know? So I'm going to say Derek Carr. This is one of these games where you just don't really see somebody just stick out, you know? So you just go with the star, you know, of the Raiders.
So, Mike, you also like the Raiders team?
Well, I did until Jose jumped in real quick and say Raiders, because I'm kind of a contrarian player in the NFL. But sorry, Jose. But
no problem.
But I like the 6.5 points. I think T.Y. Hilton was doubtful. I think Leonard is out of the game.
You're right.
So you got the best defensive player for the Colts out. You got the best offensive player for the Colts out, and you still got Brissett as the quarterback. The Raiders, they've after their first win against Denver, they've got blown out the second week, but that just gives me more value now. It's 6.5 points. So I like the Raiders getting 6.5 points in this game. You can't convince me with the Colts without Hilton or Leonard in there and then Andrew Luck out. that you can just say, yeah, they're going to win by a touchdown and just bank that. I'm sorry, the Raiders are still a professional team. They're off a loss, two losses in a row, so you'd expect them to come out and play a real good game. So I'm going to eat up those 6.5 points, and that's going to be my second pick against the spread, Timeless. I'm going to take the Raiders plus 6.5, and I'll take them to win outright too.
And who's your fantasy guy?
Again, no fantasy. I'll go with Jose. I'll say Derek Carr, but it's not really a strong play. It's more just of a gut feeling since he's kind of been off the last couple weeks. You know, he faced a tough Minnesota defense, so you know, maybe the law averages say he has a good game without Leonard in there for the Colts.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the Colts at home, and I'll go with Brissett to push the issue, quarterback versus quarterback. And it's going to be interesting because I feel like Marlon Mack can still have an imprint on his game. He's been running the ball well since he's gotten into the league, and he's made a name for himself into this game. And the Raiders defense, to me, I'm still questioning their defense. I'm still questioning that defense. I don't believe in them. They have a hitter at safety, but after that, it's like their first two levels, and I know a lot about Tahir Whitehead. He played in Michigan. Well, he played in Detroit, not for Michigan, you know, University of Michigan, but he played in the state of Michigan with the Lions. I know a lot about him. He'll have reluctant plays, but then a lot of times teams pick on him because he's caught out of the loop. So we'll see, but I'm going with the Colts. I'm going against the grain once again. Okay, so let me run this back. I'm going to do it to you again since I'm going against everybody. I guess it's me versus everybody. Does anybody feel that the Dolphins could win at home up against the Chargers?
I think they're going to cover.
Yeah, 15 points is a lot. So okay, fine. Okay, if you want the 15, all right, so I'll do that. Mike with the spread. Mike, Dolphins.
Well,
spread.
Here's the thing, Timeless. So at the beginning, midweek, the line was up to 17 points. The Chargers were 17-point favored. So now it's down to 15. So it shows me that all the sharp money, all the people that know what they're doing are betting on the Dolphins. Really, the Chargers are an inconsistent team. You never know quite sure what you're going to get for them. That last week against the Cowboys, Timeless, the Dolphins were only down 10-6 at half, and they should have been leading because they fumbled near the end zone in the last minute of the first half. So I know how bad the Dolphins are, but to tell me that the Chargers are going to come, you know, they're a West Coast team, they're going to come and play on the East Coast at 1 o'clock and beat the Chargers by over 15 points, I got to see it to believe it. So I'm going to take the Dolphins and the points to win the game outright. You know what? I'll go out on the limb with you, Timeless, and I'll say the Dolphins to win. It would be a big money line bet if you took the Dolphins to win. It's like 5-1 or 6-1 odds, maybe even a little bit more. But I like the points at 15 to at plus 15.
Are you taking the Dolphins?
Yeah, I'll take them. Why not? I'll take them.
Melvin Gordon is activated for this game.
That's fine.
That?
That's even better. That's even better because he hasn't practiced or played in many weeks, and if they try to get him going, he could be a little rusty in pass protection. So that's even better if he's in there.
They're going to win by over 3 touchdowns, I believe. But
so you're going with the Chargers, right, Jose?
Absolutely, with a blowout.
And you're a fantasy guy.
Anytime a team goes against the Dolphins, the whole team is going to score. It's hard to tell. I'm going to go with my boy again, Keenan Allen. Last week he did good. I'm going with Keenan Allen again. It seems like whoever goes against Miami, the receivers have big games.
I didn't do it yet all year, so let's go. Big wheel keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning. I'm rolling on a river. I got to go with Phillip. I'm going with Phillip Rivers to get it done. He got to get this thing started. For them to have this one win start, it's ridiculous. So, especially with the talent that they have. And I have to say this quickly, though. Antonio Gates is still saying that he's not retired. He wants to play, and it's wild that the Chargers aren't even trying to pick him up there if he's ready to play, you know. So, interesting in itself. But I'm going with the Chargers to get it done at home. Interesting matchup, NFC East. The Washington Redskins up against the New York Giants. 0-3 Redskins, 1-2 Giants. Danny Dimes, as they're calling him out here in the tri-state area. This is his new nickname now. First home game up against a struggling Redskins team. Who do you guys like in this matchup? Jose, I'll start with you first. Redskins or Giants, and your player as well.
Well, it's funny. This matchup is a really interesting match. You know what? But I say, you know, even though Jones is 1-0, he's supposed to be 0-1. You know, let's be real. He's supposed to be 0-1. Tampa Bay took that extra 5-yard penalty at the end of the game and then missed his kick. I'm going to say Daniel Jones should be 0-2 today because I'm taking a Washington Redskins. I'm definitely on the road. And you know what? It seems like because Reed is out, Vernon Davis seems to have better and better games. He's producing a lot. So I'm going to go with Vernon Davis as my fantasy pick for that game. Even though the Giants could – yeah, very interesting. Even though the Giants, like Shepard, he could put up more fantasy points than any player on the Redskins. But I'm going with the Redskins win. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. I got you, definitely. Mike, who do you like in this matchup and a player?
Okay, it's a tough one because I can't really get a feel for it because for whatever reason, the Giants, they're a 3-point favorite and it's almost going to 3.5. I'm with Jose. I'm like, you know, the Giants should have lost that game last week. Barkley's out and you got a rookie quarterback and you're telling me they're a 3-point favorite. I don't care who they're playing and they got a terrible defense. So, but I look at the line, and if you look at the line, it's telling me that the Giants are getting all the money. So it's 3 and going up. So that I kind of liked the Redskins before, but now I'm kind of like, for whatever reason, I don't understand the line move. But I know one thing, as far as fantasy, that Giants defense is god-awful. So, I mean, you can put in whoever you want for the Redskins offense, and they're going to score some points. I'm sorry. So I'll go out on the limb and take another underdog. I'll take the Redskins. I don't feel great about it just because of the line movement with the spread. But the Giants' defense is terrible. So you can pick multiple Washington offensive players for fantasy, in my opinion.
I'm going to go with the Giants. And I really feel iffy because I'm glad that you brought that up, Mike, that Saquon is out. So I'm going to go with Jones. All right, Jones, for the fantasy guy. I just don't know. And this is the crazy part because Adrian Peterson does well playing against the Giants. And I like that you hit on their defense not being as successful as they should be. But it's just a question mark with Case Keenum. Which Case Keenum is going to show up? It looks like he turned back into the old Case Keenum before he got to Minnesota. And he's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. If he can outshoot Daniel Jones in this matchup, I tip my hat. I got to give you guys credit for pulling this one. They both were Redskins. I'm the lone one going with the Giants. This is crazy that a lot of these are going against
the Giants. Quick question. The Washington Redskins played good against both divisional games in versus Dallas and the Eagles. That's what that gives me a better, you know, a meaning of you got to go with the Skins. Definitely going against the rookie quarterback. They played good against Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. So what is the Giants giving you to tell you that they're going to win the game when the Redskins played two well close division games?
Hey, we'll see. I like it. Listen, this one makes it interesting. This is what makes it interesting. Okay, this next matchup is one of those get my popcorn ready matchups. The Cleveland Browns go into Baltimore up against the new Cleveland Browns, a.k.a. the Baltimore Ravens, in which Antonio Brown already made a stink about it that he should have never been picked higher, being Baker Mayfield, should have never been picked higher than Lamar Jackson. I think he may be right, but just to start that up while you're not playing is another interesting thing in itself. I will go first in this one. I think the Ravens protect their house, even though Odell Beckham is on the field, I think Lamar Jackson will be my fantasy guy in this matchup. So I'm going to go Ravens and Lamar Jackson to pull this off and be the battle of that draft as well. Jose, I'll come to you next. Who do you like in this one, Browns or Ravens?
It's a 7 point. I got that's a 7 point spread. I definitely like Baltimore in this game. The spread, I feel like this could be easily a push. Like Baker Mayfield gets a chance to tie the game and he fails. But listen to me, every single week that Baltimore plays, which is only a few weeks so far, Mark Ingram has lit it up, man. Mark Ingram is a pro football running back, starting quarterback. He played for the Saints. I keep saying it every time. He makes everything work in Baltimore. If his wheels is turning, Baltimore's turning. So I'm going to say Baltimore Ravens and Mark Ingram as my fantasy football player. He's lighting up my fantasy this year.
Mike, who do you like in the game and a player?
Well, I like Cleveland, and I think it's up to 7.5 points now, depending where what book you're going to look for. I like Cleveland against the Rams last Sunday night. I really did. They had a chance to tie that game against the Rams in the last minute, and it was more of a play-calling issue, in my opinion, but they were right in that game. I think Baltimore's secondary is really weak, to be honest with you. And if you remember last year, you know, this is a divisional game. So last year, you know, you remember Cleveland played Baltimore real tough at the end of the season. And you're telling me you're going to give me over a touchdown? This is a desperation game for Cleveland. And, you know, their big weakness, the only thing that scares me, Timeless, is their offensive line. But I think that they're going to do just enough, and I agree with Jose that it's going to come down maybe to the end of the game. So I'll take the 7.5 points with Cleveland. And to pick as far as who's going to win the game, I mean, I guess I'll take Baltimore, but I really like the 7.5 points. And as far as fantasy, I'll take Beckham Jr. He kind of had a quiet game against the Rams. The Ravens have a bad secondary. I think they're really going to focus on force-feeding Odell Beckham this week. So I'll take Odell Beckham as my fantasy pick.
So you're taking the Browns with the spread, but you're picking the Ravens outright, but you're taking OBJ,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, I went first. Okay, is there anybody here that thinks the Panthers can go into Houston and knock off the Texans? Okay, there we go. I got one. I got one. Okay, the next is there anybody? Go ahead. Don't say what you got. I got
real,
the Panthers.
Real quick,
the
I don't feel – I'm not a big fan of the Texans. But I think that the second-string quarterback for Carolina last week, you know, he played real good against Arizona. So I don't believe it's going to happen 2 weeks in a row. But I'm not a big fan of Bill O'Brien as a coach either. So I think the spread's like 5.5. So I guess I would take Houston, but I'm not you know, like super confident over that. I think Carolina has a solid team. With McCaffrey and the receivers and a good defense, other than the quarterback. So, you know, I guess as a spread pick, I would take Carolina getting 5.5. But as far as who's going to win, I would take Houston.
Okay. Fair enough. Here we go with another one. Is there anybody that thinks that Tampa Bay can go into Los Angeles and knock off the Rams?
I think they'll cover. I've seen 10 points. I'm not impressed with the Rams at all this year. Against the Saints, they had Breeze go out. I'm not impressed with what Goff doing. I think Timeless Gurley is a completely different player that we saw, you know, a year or 2 years ago. he has some kind of injury. I mean, and it's already been documented that's holding him back. The explosiveness of Goff is gone, excuse me. To get 10 points, you know Jameis Winston. You know him, one game he can have a terrible game. The next game he could play real good. So I think the Rams are going to win, but I'll take Tampa Bay in the 10 points.
He's a Matthew Stafford. One game is a good game.
Yeah, there you go. He's a Matthew Stafford. Yeah.
Don't do that.
No. Jameis turned it over at a different clip. Turns the ball over. Jameis turns the ball over at a different clip. Whoa. Okay. I have another one. Does anybody feel that the Cardinals could protect their house up against the Seahawks after their loss?
Okay. I think they're going to cover.
I hear
I think
cricket.
They're going to cover. I like the 5 points. Timeless Seattle. Boy, they're clowny. You know, that clowny trade, I think I saw a stat where he only has one sack and one pressure since he's been there. So I'm not really digging that trade as much as I did when it first happened. I don't know what's going on with Clowney. He came out of college, you know, like the best pass rusher since Lawrence Taylor, and he's kind of been a little bit of a disappointment. So I'll take the points, and I don't have an opinion on who's going to win.
Okay, and with you saying that, and I like that you hit on this, and I don't want to beat up on him too much. Because I don't feel like I'm being fair, but I have to at this point. I got to say it. I feel bad in saying this. Jadeveon Clowney, overrated. Overrated.
Yeah.
When he came out of college,
yeah.
That big hit put him on the pinnacle of his career. Like, I was scared of him when he came out of college. I was like, if he's hitting kids like that out of college, I feel sorry for anybody in the league that has to deal with him. That hit that he put in that Michigan-South Carolina game and the dude helmet flew like 40 yards the other way, I was like, wow. And he's going to be with J.J. Watt. I thought that was going to be a tandem forever. It never worked out. His career has been injury-riddled almost every season. He's been hurt. He gets to, well, they're not the Legion of Boom anymore, but he's up there in Seattle where the defense is everything, and he's not making a name for himself. I don't even know if he's comfortable. I don't even know if I'm being fair in saying that. But right now, Jadeveon Clowney, you are overrated. At least in my eyes, I don't feel like I'm being fair. I have to say it.
You are not being completely fair. You're not. I think you are. He did miss his whole first year in Houston. He didn't even play one snap. But he went to a division where the offensive lines are a lot better than get what I'm saying. So it's gonna be hard for him to get to the quarterback.
He's in the NFC West now, and you just heard Mike, he has one sack. You have one sack?
Yeah.
Like you don't even hear him making noise. He's not making noise. Fair enough. I say he's overrated. If you feel like I'm jumping the gun, we'll see. I want to wait to see how long it's going to take for him to make that turn in his career. The next matchup is an NFC North matchup, and I like this one. The 2-1 Vikings visit the Chicago Bears at 2-1. The Vikings are 0-1 on the road. The Bears are 0-1 at home. Who do you like in this matchup and why? I'll come to you first, Mike.
This is probably the toughest game for me to predict because all the sharp money, everything's going towards Minnesota in this game. However, I've seen Cousins time and time again in these games just come up short. So the spread's 2.5. I mean, everything looks to me like Minnesota. You know, you got Cook. He's going off. He could be the best running back in the league with Barkley out now. You know, you got him healthy. But I just can't trust Cousins. And I can't trust Trubisky either. So I'm actually torn on this game. But I'm going to take Minnesota here just because Thielen, Cook, everyone's kind of healthy that wasn't last year. And I'm kind of like, you know, to be honest, throwing up in my mouth, you know, taking a team led by Cousins. But I will take Minnesota to win this game and cover.
And who do you like as your fantasy?
I don't like anybody fantasy. This is two elite defenses in the NFL, so I don't like anybody fantasy. I'll go with the Minnesota defense is my fantasy pick.
Minnesota's D. Whoa, okay. Jose, who do you like in this matchup and a fantasy player?
I'm going with the total opposite of James. Even though he's right, this is the same exact thing as last week when the Colts were giving up points to the Falcons. It doesn't seem right. So when it doesn't seem right, Vegas is going to make a lot of money, and I'm not falling for it. So I'm going to take the Bears giving up the points.
And who's your fantasy player?
And I'm going to go with Chicago's defense. I'm going to go with the opposite of James. He picked Minnesota's defense. I'm going to go with Chicago's defense.
No, that's Mike. It's Mike. James not here today. That's Mike.
I'm sorry.
I'll go by either name. I get called a lot, believe me. James, Mike, I don't mind.
No, I got you. I'm going to help out, believe me. I ain't going to let that happen to you. I'm not going to let my brother slip up, and I'm not going to let them rain on your parade, Mike. This is your day in the sun here in the kitchen. So I'm going to agree with Jose. I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm going to go with the Bears' defense as well, and here's why I'm going with the Bears' defense. It's raining in Chicago, and here goes the crazy part. I do not believe in Kirk Cousins. I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan. His confidence has always seemed like it's rattled. He's come up with some plays here and there, and everybody picked on the contract. I don't worry about how much money he makes. I'm not one of those guys. That's what, you know, Stephen A. Smith and all, they worried about people's contracts. They're not worried about the play on the field. And if this defense is that defense, which the Bears defense is, they continue to bring that pressure all game long, I'm going to make a bold statement in saying this. Khalil Mack has three or more sacks today. Three or more, him by himself.
Wow.
What?
Three or more.
Eight sacks?
I said three. I didn't say – you thought I said eight? No, three. Three. Chris, three.
Hey,
Derek
Thomas has a record for sacks in a game for Kansas City. I will not go that far.
I'm being clear. I'll tell you. Right, that's what I'm saying. That's why I didn't say eight. No. Eight is jumping the gun. Shoot, if he get eight, I don't even want to play the Bears. I don't want to play him if he's doing this type of damage. Okay, next game is an interesting one. The Jaguars are in Denver up against the Broncos. The Broncos have not won yet. The Jaguars are trying to find their identity. I'll go first. I think the Broncos get their first win at home. I'll go with that one. I'll do that. Broncos get their first win at home. My fantasy player will be Phillip Lindsay. Jose, I'll go with you next. Who do you like in this matchup, Jaguars or Broncos?
I also agree with you. Denver get their first win of the year. And I also think Joe Flacco gets his first 300-yard game against a very good defense. So I'm going to go with Joe Flacco as my fantasy pick. Even though Lindsay's been putting up good numbers, he's been – doing really good.
He's phenomenal. I like the only thing, if he was like bigger, that's it. But when he sees daylight, he is running for a while. I like that type of football. I like it. Mike, who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy player?
Well, the strange thing of this is all week long, Denver was a 3-point favorite, and it was going to go to 3.5. And I'm looking now on the screen, and it's Denver minus 2.5. So, I like Denver, but now it's completely scaring me. Something's going on here. Something's going on to push that off of 3 down to 2.5. So, this is timeless. I'll be real quick. I don't understand the line movement. I don't have a pick either way. And I'm not a big fantasy. I don't have anything fantasy in this game. I don't think it's going to be an offensive game. So, I don't have an opinion either way.
Hold on. Is it cloudy out there or is it snow? I hope it's not snowing. I hope I'm not reading this right. I hope that's cloudy.
You know what? It might be because I saw something. I watched the Weather Channel, and they said there's some big storm out there, winter storm, that's like really unusual for September. So I maybe that has something to do with it. I mean, I'm going to have to look into it after we get off the air here. But something's not right for that line to move to 3 to 2.5. So I'm just really you know what you mean, you know what I mean when you see something like that, a move like that, something's going on.
So are you going with the Jags?
I'm passing on the game.
Really? No pick. Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
No pick.
That's a first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That just threw a loop. Okay, so for the Sunday night matchup, the Cowboys.
He should give a pick for the record, though. He should try to give a pick for the record, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Just give me one, Mike.
Give you a pick?
Yeah.
All right, Denver.
Broncos, okay.
Toss a coin up in the air.
He already picked. He got it. So the Sunday night matchup, interesting matchup. The Cowboys on the road up against the Saints in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome that always rocks and rolls. But the band lead member singer is not performing, a.k.a. Drew Brees. Is there anybody that feels the Saints pull this off up against the Cowboys who are red hot? No. The Cowboys get it done. Everybody. Okay, everybody Cowboys. Okay, that helps me.
Real quick, Timeless, I will say everybody and their brother are taking the Saints plus 2.5 points. For the reason that the Cowboys haven't played anybody. They beat the Giants, they beat the Redskins, and they beat the Dolphins. But I understand it's in New Orleans on a Sunday night, and everyone always goes to, well, that's going to be an electric environment in New Orleans on a Sunday night. But it's still Bridgewater. It's not Breeze. And I'm a Cowboys fan, so I first thought the same thing. I'm like, the Saints are going to win this. Cowboys haven't played anybody. But I think the Cowboys got a good team. I think that offensive line can hold up against anybody. And I'm not 100% sold on Bridgewater, no matter what his record is yet. I got to see it to believe it. If you remember last year, Kamara was kind of shut down by the Cowboys. They put a guy, cornerback Lewis from Michigan, on him, and the linebackers, Jalen Smith and Van Der Esch, and that's the Saints' bread and butter, Kamara. And they actually had a guy that's kind of stalked him pretty much. So I'm going to take the Cowboys here, and it's 2.5, so all they got to do is win by a field goal to cover the spread. So I'll take the Cowboys to win and to cover the spread.
I think this is going to be the first week where Ezekiel Elliott breaks out. Like, he had over 100 rushing yards already, but this is where he gets multiple touchdowns and puts less on Dak Prescott.
I'd actually say Zeke as well. I think it's that whole backfield. I think it's Dak and Zeke type of game up against the New Orleans Saints. I as much pressure that's on Teddy Bridgewater to come out and be victorious. But and not only is it a Sunday night matchup, but everybody in America will be watching because it's the Cowboys. So if Teddy Bridgewater pulls this off, get your popcorn ready, especially when Drew Brees comes back, because he just pulled off a big win in Seattle. And this will be a big win if he could stop the run of what the Cowboys have done. But I agree, Mike. I don't want to pick on the Cowboys like that because they haven't played anybody. I got to respect the team that they had to play on their schedule, but they haven't played anybody. But they're 3-0, so I have to respect the record. Last but not least, and I need closeouts on this one because I'm running, the Bengals against the Steelers on Monday night, both of them in a division battle, the black and blue division, they are both 0-3. I don't know which way to go with this game. I can't believe the Bengals are off to this bad of a start, and the Steelers, I understand. You just lost AB, lose Big Ben for the remainder of the season. It's a tough way to get out of the gate. So I want to see how you guys feel about this. I need plugs and closeouts also with your selection. Mike, I'll start with you first. Who do you like in the matchup and a plug and closeout?
Okay, so first of all, I'll be at this game. I'm in here in Pittsburgh, and believe it or not, I got a ticket for $80 about 10 rows up on the Cincinnati side on the 45-yard line. Nobody cares about this game in Pittsburgh. You're exactly right. 2-0-3 teams on Monday night. Tickets are normally 200 plus. They're going under 100 now for good seats. I'll take the Steelers at I see some 3.5s now, just because Tomlin's always Steelers. The Monday night team has been Monday night's always been a go-to pick. They have a great record on Monday nights. My final comment, Thomas, hey, I appreciate what you're going through with your family. I know how it is to miss a loved one, and that's the great thing about sports is it's kind of a distraction. When you're going through things like this, you can go to sports, to football, as something to get your mind off the issues. So I feel for you, man, and I've been there too, and it just shows you you coming in and doing a show on a Sunday, what you're going through, it's really stand up. So I'll leave it at that, and you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Mike. I look at it like this. I look at it like it's life, and no matter how much older I get, everybody else is getting older too. And you know, the one thing about me, like I kind of give myself credit, and it's kind of like a gift and a curse. It's like, how many people I know? You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people. So it's like, I love hard. If somebody die on me, it's like, it ain't like, oh, damn, they just passed away. It's like, I had a relationship with this person. I did more than just hire by. You know what I'm saying? Like, we hung out. We probably had a drink together. We probably went on a travel. We tripped somewhere. So, like, and let alone just knowing the scenario that it was a murder. You know what I'm saying? And I just don't know, man. But thank you, Mike. I'm glad I gave you your
thank
minute
you.
To talk about.
No, thank you.
With a statement like that, I'm proud that you got the pick on me about Carmelo Anthony, and you know, get your just due because you've been riding that wave for a couple of years now. So I'm happy you got that one.
Take care, man.
You just rattled me, man. Jose, give me a pick and a fantasy player and a closeout as well.
I said this last week, man. Give me a better Monday night game, man. These games are ridiculous. I don't know if they're like, they expected Cincinnati to even be good. They make it a primetime game. But I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Just for some reason, I think Pittsburgh's in the same boat as the Giants last year, who still have quarterback questions. Is he going to be good enough to even – it's different because he's injured. Roethlisberger's injured and Eli's not. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have one of the worst records in the NFL this year without Big Ben, without Brown, without Bell. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take Cincinnati. And I'm going to go with Joe Mixon to be the fantasy pick in a low-scoring game. I really don't have a shout-out. I just basically had time. I just want to know if you can give me the standings for last week. I think I was 11-4.
You were 11-4, but – and James, and he's here right now, and I'm trying. He just hung up, but he only lost one game last week.
Oh,
Andy Greenwood only lost one game. Right, and I feel horrible because it's like I was the worst. Like I think I lost like four or five games, and I'm out of myself from last week. So, and my pen just freaking died. So I at least wrote Bengals. I don't know who you got, but I'm trying to get this damn pen to work. I'm going Bengals as well. My fantasy guy is A.J. Green. I'm going with A.J. Green to have an exceptional day up against the Steelers defense. The Steelers defense has not impressed me this year. They have not. I'm not buying it. Sports City, stay tuned. I got that Wednesday show back just to get in place with everything that's going on with the games, try to recover those, and then try to spill out our pick for the Thursday night matchup. I want to start doing the show on Monday, but I got to get the participation here to at least feel comfortable to do multiple shows, but if not, we're going to work on that. But Wednesday show is back. We got the cookout going to get at least the overview of everything that went down Sunday and get our picks going for at least Thursday night. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again, and if they don't know, Now they know.
Real hard.